And we're back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 336, with Mr. Diabolical Souls Presents. This is going to be his second appearance on the show. The last time he was actually on the show, you were on episode 55 for your first appearance, actually. So
yeah,
that's been a pretty long time since you've actually been on the show. So if you guys want to go see his first appearance on the show, origin story, what he does in his personal life as far as like work, you know, and his and you know, his drama situation he had with another some sort of like indie comic creator, it's all there, it's all there. And you know, it's crazy, man, because usually I have people on for second appearance, it's like, okay, I let my kids go out and explore the world and the realm of content creation. Like, dad, I come back from school, the university's full of leftist communist pieces of garbage, I'll buy you a beer, let me get you up on the, you know, let's go out and have some fun. And it's like, oh my god, okay, just tell me about your problems. But it's crazy because, like, I've been doing this for so long at this point. Everyone's, most of the content creation, like, issues people go through, I've already been through them. And I'm like, oh, it's just something every step of the way you have to go through something. I think I probably learned more doing this than I did at school at all, honestly. You know, like, just learning how to sync your microphone to your headset is something that you won't know how to do, because they don't teach you that in school. They don't teach you how to sync audio in school or podcasting. They don't teach you that shit. They teach you like some fucked up version of history where black people apparently had no slaves of their own, and you know, they were just like saints the whole time. That's the version of history I learned. But Diabolical Souls went on to bigger and better things. He's on he's on Saturday Night Hypnosis. He has his own show that he does. And there's the show you're reviewing now, which is Arcane, which is League of Legends based, which is crazy because I've never actually watched that show. League lore has changed so much. I don't even know which version of the history of the character we've been using at this point, you know?
Kind of stepped away from the other situation. The individual with no name. I just felt like I'm doing like 99.5% of the work, and if I'm doing all this work and you're not doing anything, it's like, what do I need you for? And so I just said, you can have all that, I'm taking this, and I'm changing the name and doing my thing. And I'm actually having a lot of fun. I do a lot of interviews like you, like we were talking in the back room there, and I met a lot of great people, and I thought, well, why am I locking myself into a small little niche market upon a niche market upon a niche market? Comic books is a very, very small community, like very small. And then you put the indie comics on top of that, and then you put the indie fund crowdfunding on top of that. It's a very small, and it's monopolized. Yeah. It's monopolized by a few people, and that's fine. You know, they're incredible creators. So I was like, no, I want to branch out and, you know, start interviewing content creators and, you know, other writers and stuff like that. And I've met incredible people, and I love them all. And I decided, like, I want to do more pulp culture. I'll still do the interviews. I'm going to do that just Wednesday nights on Diabolical Souls Presents. And now I'm just doing some of the stuff that I like, animation. I was doing animation when I was young. I love animation. I love comics. I love drawing, and I love animation. And so I started doing Blue Eye Samurai, just for kind of like shits and giggles, and just like thought, you know, let's do this with a few buddies of mine, amateur analyst. Me and him pretty much started off, and then Stupenzo jumped on, and then Andrew came on. We had Michael Bancroft on for episode 5, Blue Eye Samurai, and started gaining momentum and a crowd. And I was just like, oh, this is good. And I was enjoying myself. The guys were enjoying themselves. And I said, let's do Arcane after this. And even the people in the chat, what are you doing next? And I was like, okay, well, let's do Arcane. It's just natural to do, because we know Arcane. So we're doing Arcane now. And it's been growing. It's taken off, and YouTube's got a hold of it. And now it's pushing my channel. It's really bumping the numbers, and it's taken off. So, it's been amazing, and I've enjoying the ride and enjoying the company I have. Like, I'm like sitting there talking Arcane with Andrew Stupenzo, amateur analyst. We got Zach Marois. He just jumped on. We have Little Platoon, who has a huge channel, as everyone knows. He's like close to a million subscribers.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's crazy that he comes onto my channel, really. And he's such a great guy. He's the best. Platoon's such a awesome guy. Like, all the guys that come on are great guys. They're funny. They have incredible content, and we have a blast on the channel, and it's just a lot of fun. I think Rini might pop on if she can, because she's done anime. She's working on Archer and a few things, like when I interviewed her. So she's going to try to come on. I know Matt Barr said he's going to try to come on. Well, he'll come on, because I'm always on his show on the Pre-Kings on Mondays. So he's going to come on at one point. A lot of people are wanting to jump on, and it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying myself, and I got some really exciting plans for the future, and I'm just going to continue doing that. I got a comic that I want to work on, but I'm putting that on hold right now, because I want to get into the animation. I want to start getting into animation more, so I'm going to start doing some animation shorts and stuff like that, and fool around and see what I can create and do there. So,
yeah, I have a lot of big plans myself. And I think yesterday I made a tweet where I basically restructured my goals for 2024, because I did like the big majority of them, because everyone knows I really wanted to make sure the shows get out on the podcasting platforms, because there's such a big audience there that I just basically, you have an unlimited tap potential, like people that'll watch and listen to your shows. You know, that's what I don't see a lot of people doing. And I'm not doing it because other people don't do it. It's more like I love just doing a show like this and putting it out for more people to have exposure to it. And because before it was like just the Nightwing podcast. That was like my second one that I did when I was learning how to podcast. Oh, my God. Just learning that was a doozy. I'll say that. So now we have two shows. We have this one that does like everything, and the other one is just League of Legends focused. We're talking about, like, you know, the game and competitive aspects, news, and all that stuff. So people now have two shows they can look forward to. And I just got to a point where I could put out the shows as they're new now, just a day ago. There was a lot that I had to do. I had to get an external hard drive for my fucking computer because I ran out of space. I've had to think since like 2018. Oh my God, man. Oh gosh. And then I was watching some of my favorite content creators talk about like comic books and omnibuses, and I was like, I need those. He did like a short where he showed like a bunch of like Absolute Batman. I was like, I need to have them. I was like, I need to have them. So I wrote down all of them that he had, and I was like, so that's what I'm doing in my free time, is just like writing down like omnibuses I want, trade paperbacks. So since I've been doing this for a while at this point, if I'm gonna get an older story, if there's an omnibus for it, I'll probably just get the omnibus for it, because that's a lot more cost effective. Even though it's like $190, it's way more bang for your buck than trying to hunt down like five trade paperbacks and
pay. Yeah, that's
like,
fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Like, I'll do paperbacks only if it's like three in a series. Like, three I'll make the exception for. But if it fits like 7, 8, 9, nah, I'll just get a fucking whole run. Might as well.
Yeah.
You know?
I have the Darkness omnibus. I got the Spawn omnibus, the Cyber Force. I got the Nightfall. I had Chuck Dixon on the other night, and we were talking about Nightfall. We were talking about that arc and how that came about, and how far in advance they planned that. And it was an amazing conversation. That guy, I would love to sit down and just have beers. The conversation just flowed. It was just an amazing conversation. In the back room, we did is laugh. It was just a lot of fun.
That I love Nightfall, man. That's one of my favorite stories. I bought the trade paperback for it a long time ago, but there was an omnibus, so I was like, you know, instead of getting the trade paperbacks, I'll just get the omnibus. But the problem here, they haven't released Nightfall Volume 2 yet in omnibus form. They've only ever did Volume 1 yet. A lot of people are waiting on Volume 2, so the only way to collect it, if you don't want to do back issues, is just doing the paperbacks. And it's like, fuck. Nightfall is like, what, like 3-4 volumes? Like, god damn, you know?
Yeah, I got the volumes. I have them over there, and they're freaking thick, dude. Like, it's a lot of reading, but it's a great story. You just get invested into the story because the way he writes it, that's the amazing thing about him, is he can do any genre and just create these stories. Like, he's done The Simpsons, SpongeBob, and then he gets into Punisher, and then he'll go to Batman, and then he'll go to
just like, a really talented guy. Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable talent. And then he writes like art novels. He's got novels out. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I just kind of like, I love, you know, hearing how he goes through the process of creating these stories and just enjoying it, especially at his age. Like, he's been around a long time and he's a legend when it comes to comics. So
how do you even get in contact with him? You just have to email him, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I just emailed him and he came on. He was just like, I'd love to talk. And come on. So
I might have Gabe El Taib on. I was going to, and he ran into a snag where his book's about to get done and being fulfilled at the printer. So he said, we'll try and do it in March. Actually, I was like, hey, can you slide in Dean Cain, you know, just help a brother out, you know, another hot, sexy guy, talking to another hot, sexy guy, you know, we hit it off.
God. Gabe is a funny guy. Cause, he said he was going to come on my channel.
All American, actually.
I will try to get them on. I don't know. There's certain guests. I'm not sure where it's going to play out. Nothing against them. I just don't know if they're going to come on. I'm a small channel. I'm just a wee little channel. Why would they come on my channel? So I'm always surprised when someone says yes. I'll reach out and ask, but I don't know if they'll come on my little wee channel in YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube
world. You and John's Longbox, you guys get like a lot of great people on. I legit don't know how you do it. You know, like I just don't know.
I just ask. I just like, hey, you know,
and it's like, bro, like how? I don't have the magic touch yet. You know, like I kind of wanted to get to a point where I was so big at already doing it and everyone already knew I was doing it that they would kind of reach out to you. But like, that's just not going to happen yet. You got to get really popular.
Well, it's starting to happen for me with a lot of content creators and a lot of artists and stuff. I'm booked into late May now. I'm like, that's how far I'm booked in. Yeah, I'm booked up.
Yeah, I know how you feel, man. That happened when I restarted this podcast, when I switched out the other one. Like, that stretch to get to 100 episodes, outside of, like, the panel shows, there was days, I think I had 4 one-on-ones a day. Because, you know, I had to rebuild my catalog back up from this show from scratch. So I think there were days I did, like, 4 shows in a day, 3 shows in a day. One day I did 6. I don't know how I did that. Wow. After the panel show, I laid down on my bed, because I threw up my bed, which is just bad. So I ordered another one. It's coming in a few days. And I sat there, I went, boom, dead, just passed out. Literally, I didn't wake up till like 5 in the morning after the panel show. Because on the panel show, everyone's like, you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. I was faking it so hard. I was literally just keeping it together as hard as I could. After it was over, I was like, I'll see you guys later, but I am dead. I need to go look at death right now.
That's a heavy day, especially if they're longer than an hour. So like, I know I've done 5 streams in a day. And some of them were like 2 to 3 hours long. So like,
it was
a long day. It was just like, cause people are reaching out, hey, you want to come on my channel? Like, and I was just like, holy crap. Like I'm nobody. Like I'm like, I always say that I'm a small little minnow in an ocean. Like you want me on your channel? Yeah. I'd love to come on. Like I won't say no. Like, I have no problem. Like I love talking about pop culture and, you know, comics and stuff like that. But that was a crazy day. And then I just kind of started happening where I was getting 2 to 3 streams a day. And I was just like, holy shit, I got to slow down. It's cause like, I'm an older guy. I can't keep this pace up anymore.
Yeah. So like, as people have asked me, like, do I get burnt out? No, I never ever get burnt out. Why would I get burnt out? I've always told people it's because if I love doing this so much that I don't even think about getting burnt out. Yeah. I'm going to get tired. Obviously, I'm not actually Superman. Like, I'm going to get tired. But I'll usually just – now I've gotten better at spacing them out instead of just overloading them all on one day. Yeah. So back when I was doing my other one-on-one show, the Batman podcast, on my other channel before I got yeeted by communist YouTube people, you know, I would have, like – I had no sense of, like, scheduling people on different times. So I got better at that with this show. Like, hey, I know I told you this time, but could you please do this next day? Because I would already look at the schedule. And I had 3 one-on-ones and a panel. So I'm like, okay, I'm dead after that, you know? And I usually always try to keep it an hour. But have you ever had, like, guests on where you try to keep it to an hour and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't get a chance to ask this because I kept it to like, just an hour, you know? So that's why I had to not run into that snag anymore.
Yeah, I always play with the idea. Like, I ask them first. Every time they come on, I go, is there anything on the table you do not want to talk about? And 99% of the time, it's oh, I'm an open book. I don't worry about it. Like, it's all good. I'm like, are you sure? Cause like, I do dive deep into certain areas, not like anything really deep personal, but I dive into things that maybe other people are afraid to ask. And they're just like, oh, really? Like Kelsey, he's just like, oh, there's nothing you can, at the end of the show, he's just like, damn, you dude, twice. You had me like really thinking like, what the hell? I was like, this guy's really good at getting the questions. So I was just like, I always make sure like it's okay. And then like, and some people say, well, if it's not okay, I'll just, you know, let you know that I, you know, I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm like, yeah, like it's not going to be anything major, but I like to know what's behind the mask with these creators. Like, how did you get those creative juices? Where did you come from to like, did you come from poverty? Like a lot of these creators come from poverty and never want to go back. So they have that working, hard working drive that they just want to work all the time. So, I love like talking about, you know, these things. I've had a woman on my show. She talked about, you know, she gave birth and she lost one of her children during birth, and she had twins, and one, she knew there was possibility and the child died, and it was, she was, you know, getting emotional on the stream. And I said, it's okay. You know, this is a safe space. And I, you know, thank you for sharing those kind of things. Cause like the people get to know you and then get to invest in you. Not the book is one thing or whatever you're putting out there. It's one thing, but like talking about yourself, and if people want to invest in you, then whatever you're putting on the table, they're going to back you anyway. So I like doing those kind of conversations. And then I'll sit there and go like, what's the time limit? Like how much time do we have? Like 60 to 90 minutes, usually roughly good. And if it goes longer, just let me know. And they're like, yep. So that's usually the way I go about it.
That's usually how it goes. The person will usually ask me, is like, is there anything I can't talk about? I was like, I don't care, honestly. So that's why the show's on Rumble, you know? Because like, yeah, in theory, I could probably have it on YouTube. You could probably do the whole thing where I put it on YouTube and take it off if it gets a little too spicy. But I don't want that to be a thing. I don't want there to be any, like, you know, chains and shackles on someone where they feel like they can't express themselves. You know, I just don't want that to ever be a thing, you know? Because I feel like guests are at their best when you could just let them, you know, freely express themselves however they want. I think the problem with one-on-ones is the timing of them. Like, because you're in the East Coast, I'm over here. It's probably like almost 9 for you right now, to a certain extent, I think.
No, I'm actually Central.
Central. So it's probably like 8 something for you. Yeah, it's like when there's other people, Eastern guests, it's like, if it's 5 for me, it's 8 for them. It's like always attached. I probably have more viewers on East Coast than I do actually on this coast, actually.
Yeah. That's why I always put East Coast. That's why I always put Eastern time, because it's mostly East Coast people that watch. So that's what I do with my posts. Like, I'll hammer Twitter and post my, you know, this is up here, this is up there, and you know.
I have to get legit better at just marketing. I've been just very, I was never a bad person at it. The problem here is like, I never ever took it like seriously. I don't really ever take things seriously anyway. I kind of take them more like nonchalant. Like, I'll get to it when I get to it. But I think the ways that people have gotten a bit bigger, at least doing this kind of thing, is they've just been constantly promoting it every day, nonstop, you know? That one tweet you put out might be the one that hits, you know, and gets a lot of traction. You never know, you know? Like, the guy at Phoenix Press, the guy I had Nick on, who does the Screecher comics, literally put out a tweet yesterday where it was, who would you rather have powers of, Justice League or X-Men? And it got like a million views. Like, really? Really? I've seen this. I've seen those fucking posts for like all my life. Are you serious? What the fuck? What am I doing? Do I have to just go in a thong and a bikini on Twitter just to get views at this point? You know, just to get noticed?
Who was that? Who posted that?
The, it was Phoenix Press. Nick.
Phoenix Press. There's two Phoenix Presses, right? There's the Phoenix Press and then there's Phoenix Press.
I think so. No, it's just one. He just does the Screecher comics, actually.
Oh, Screecher. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. He was on my show.
Good Lord, man. And that guy, Pullman, he loves his Zack Snyder. I'll tell you guys that. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I also, hey, man, it's all opinions, but I think Zack Snyder is just absolute garbage. To be honest.
Same here. So we ripped Rebel Moon apart on my channel when it came out. We had a whole list of
like
people.
Man of Steel is not good. Like, no, people do that thing where they talk out of their, it's like a thing that where they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They're like, well, yeah, it's a it's a good movie, but it's a good movie, but it's a terrible Superman film. That doesn't even make logical sense. It's a Superman movie. What are you talking? You people are retarded. Like, I don't ever try to be like that, man. I don't. But when people are that playing it close to the chest, saying literally two things at once because they're not trying to say the absolute thing that they're trying to say, it's like, are you telling me it's a great movie, but it's a bad Superman film? It's a fucking Superman movie. It literally fails at being both then by that logic. Oh, what the fuck? Superman would never let his dad die like that. Never. I don't like people that justify that don't have kids, don't have any attachment. They have no feelings whatsoever. Because like people factor in, if you watch that scene closely, he's letting his adopted dad die. So that means the adopted mom he had loses her husband. Okay, so obviously that's terrible. He loses his dad right in front of his eyes, which I know firsthand that is going to mentally destroy your whole entire brain. Then the guilt of literally not being able to save someone like that is just, you would know that would tear a superhero apart. You would know that because the difference with, because people brought up like burning, people bring up all these like dumb real world examples, and none of them make any sense because he has super speed. He could literally get in there and get out instantly. So none of those apply to him. It's just a stupid scene constructed by a trash director who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing because it was written by David S. Goyer or some shit, who's written some decent stuff in the past, but that movie's just not it, man. It's an awful movie.
I think he had probably a decent script, but Zack Snyder has the ego to sit there and change things all the time. He thinks he's better than a lot of people, and he knows what people want, and he falls short big time every time. So, I mean, the only thing good about Superman was like Henry Cavill as Superman. He looked like Superman.
For me, when it comes to Henry Cavill, I think he just only looked like Superman. Like I never felt like he was ever Clark, you know? I never felt like he really heard a Clark Kent or Superman performance. He just, on the surface level, he just looked like Superman. But other than that, he was pretty bland, honestly, in most of his appearances. Yeah. Like, it's the same thing I got on Brandon Routh for. Like, in Superman Returns, there's this part in Superman Returns, the first part of the movie, where this guy's gone for 5 years. It's like, that's not, oh my lord. Fuck, what's wrong with people? They're like, Superman Returns is better. How? He literally left for 5 years. Like, that's not good. Superman would never do that. What the fuck? We've not had a good Superman live-action movie part since, like, Superman 2, if I'm being honest here. You know, like Superman Returns is not good. Superman Returns is not good. Superman Returns is just shit, people. I've watched it several times. It's not good. Superman 3 and 4 are bad, obviously. Lasering the Great Wall of China. Man of Steel is not good. I think Superman has always done justice in animation and TV shows. I've never seen the Dean Cain one. I've seen Smallville, and I've seen Superman and Lois. Superman and Lois, Talia Hochlin is amazing. He actually plays Superman very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you ever watch Superman and Lois?
No, I heard it's pretty good, but I've never watched it because I can't get invested in it because it just doesn't follow the books. Like, and I know that's a cliche. I mean, like, you know. Yeah. I love the books, and I was never really a big Superman fan to begin with, but when I think of Superman, I think of Christopher Reeve, and Brandon Routh was like, he was okay. He looked like Clark Kent for sure. He was an okay Superman. He was just too slim. Henry Cavill looked like, he had the body of Superman, but he just, you're right. He was kind of bland. So I have trouble with that. It's the same thing they have with Batman. For me, Batman will always be Michael Keaton. He was my favorite Batman. The animation, like WB and DC Comics, you just stuck with the animation because the animation, they were killing it for the longest time. They had some great stuff there. Like Batman the Animated Series is one of my favorite animations of all time. I love that series. Like, it's just phenomenal. Even the Superman animated series was great.
Yeah.
A lot, even the Batman, Batman Beyond was awesome. Like, there was just all a lot of good.
Yeah.
They were Static great. Shock,
Those ones are all good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Under the Red Hood, the movies were great.
That's my favorite one. That's my personal favorite, Batman animated movie. The second one is Mask of the Phantasm. Phantasm, obviously, yeah. They could probably get top. You could put McCoy. It could be either one on either day. But man, Under the Red Red Hood is just too good.
Like, oh yeah,
that's just too good. I don't think they're ever getting to peak levels like that anymore. The Superman one, I thought was really good. Was Superman versus the Elite Four? That was really good. I actually, Man of Tomorrow, which came out in 2020, was actually pretty good itself.
Yeah,
I've seen too many Superman anime. Oh my god, those are it's just a character that's always done justice, not in live action. You know, the TV show appearances are always better. Anytime he's with someone else, and another anime project is better. Superman and Batman: Public Enemies, which was great in that. The part where Lex Luthor almost kills Batman, he's like, "That was my best friend, and you just killed him." He just went off and almost beat the shit out of him. Like, man, dude, like people, and it's crazy because the Zack Snyder movie, Man of Steel, a lot of people go, "Well, I was never a huge fan of Superman, and that was the first one that got me." And I'm like, okay. I had no problem. Everyone has their starting point. I had no issue with that. My problem is that when people have their first iteration of that being Superman, because they deemed him as boring, it's like, why is he? I never understood the people that said he was boring. I just don't get that. But the complexity of his character means he could be the furthest thing from boring. If people like really deeply look into him, I think it's because the live action movies have just did such a bad job of portraying his character. Let's be honest, no one's really read those comics. Let's be honest, that ain't a thing. People mostly have watched animation and movies. And when you have a bad animation movie or a bad live action movie that has shown him in a certain light, people think that's who he is. And that's just, you know, my problem with the movies is Lois Lane's a little bit too much in these. You know, she's always like damsel in distress. Don't really think we need that a lot of the times. You know, like the animated movies, the animated stuff you watch with Superman, Lois is not that. Lois is a pretty fine character. She isn't randomly just getting away just so he saves her, you know?
Yeah, she's an investigative journalist, and she's constantly, you know, seeking out the truth behind a lot of the issues happening in Metropolis. And she's a strong woman. Like, she's a strong, independent woman, I would say. And then, you know, when the movie comes along, they make her kind of this, you know, like 50s woman, you know, like this, she's there for eye candy, and she's emotional, and it's just like, come on, like let's get rid of here. And it doesn't even look like Lois Lane in my mind. Like, Lois Lane has black hair, blue eyes, and that's Lois Lane. I don't understand why they have to deviate from the comics so much. Kind of stick to at least what the characters look like. That's why I have a problem with like a quick labeling of like trying to put like a gender on someone or put a different race on someone. Who did they do? Like Spider-Man, they have Spider-Man is in a wheelchair and gay and lesbian and like, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That was one of their multiverse versions, because Marvel is like cringely obsessed with, like, let's say there's Blade and they would need like a girl Blade, then they need like a fucking Indian, like, just so they could like have a crossover book that you're gonna sell like an issue. It's, oh my god, I want to start ranting on that because it's so fucking stupid.
Yeah,
but that's what they do. That's what they do. Why they want like a ton of their different characters, the same character, so to speak, copied versions. Just so they can all like team up to do some event together. That's like, that's so stupid. Like,
it is
literally creatively bankrupt, actually, how bad some of these guys are. You know, did you not see some of the tweets I put out last night? The whole thing with Blood Hunt. Now, I like the idea, but I don't mind vampires and stuff like that. But why is a vampire event coming out in spring?
Yeah, that's bad marketing.
Vampire event coming out in spring. What the fuck? And these people tell me they want to sell comics. Bro, what are you doing? Like, I like the idea. I'm going to buy the issues, but it's like, this will definitely go better over in October. Yeah, I can't wait to get excited for vampires in spring.
What the fuck? Yeah, I don't understand it sometimes. Like, I don't know what the logic is. I don't know if you're interested in the Ghost Machine as well. Like, Ghost Machine, they're putting out their books, and I got mine too. I'm looking forward to Fabric's book. You did a review of it?
Yeah, we're going to do a review of it on Sunday. I might do one individually by myself, or I might just clip out the one I'm going to do with Professor Savage Dad, because I don't know. Have you heard the interviews that Jeff Johns have did about the book? Like, if people hear his actual interviews he's did on, like, several YouTube channels, he's really passionate about what he wants to put together in this. And I was super excited when I heard him talk. But yeah, overall, I haven't read it yet. I have been so busy. I've been trying to put together this new YouTube thing for comics. I don't have a comic shop around me. So this is my last piece that I need to, you know, read and review. But, like, I was reading the mission statement in front of the book, and I was like, all right. I flipped to the back of it to see, like, the next characters are gonna do. Yeah, I'll get the stuff. I don't see why I shouldn't. Like, this is my first ever Image comic I've ever bought in my life, so, you know.
I like it. Some people kind of like, oh, this is cheesy. There's, like, they didn't have
cheesy in comic, like, books. Oh yeah, shit.
I know. That's I know. And I'm like, no, I think I like what Fabic has. I like Jeff Johns and Ivan Reis are doing with Geiger. And or is it Gary Frank? I think it's Gary Frank, actually. Or is it Ivan Reis? I can't remember now. They got some cool stories there. I think it's going to be worth, you know, investing in. See where it goes. It's like Spawn, the cowboy one. Why can I not think of it? God,
got the book right there.
The one Brett Booth was working on, and now he's doing Spawn. He's doing Spawn 350 and on. Gunslinger. That's, holy crap, I couldn't even think of it. Spawn Gunslinger. And I bought the first issue. I'm like, I love the artwork. I'm kind of curious about the character, and it's a great series. I'm gonna continue buying that because it's a great series. I'm going to continue with Spawn because Brett Booth is working on Spawn now, and I love Brett Booth. He's a great guy. I've had him on my channel, a great conversation. I know Joe and Sean have had him on numerous times. He's just a great guy. But yeah, I'm going to get Gunslinger. So I'm not afraid to try out new comics. DC and Marvel, I won't. I won't buy anything from that again.
For DC and Marvel, okay. So I did Ultimate Spider-Man. I bought number 2. There's this, like, Superman Bizarro run I have right now. I don't have too much floppies from them. I have they did a new Predator run. They did start, you know, Marvel does the number 1s. Predator number 1, Last Hunter came out. And I got the Nightwing book that just started from issue number 111. Even though I mostly like to get things from the very beginning, this is at the start of a new arc. So If it really interests me, then I'll buy it. But the moment it ceases to be good and when I'm reading it, I just take it off my list. Because I can't – there's no reason to justify buying this every month. And people say, oh, it'll be only like $6. Yeah, but, like, the problem here is I could waste $6 on anything else but this, though. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I do collect Batman still. That's the one I do collect still. I'm a huge Batman fan. I have always loved Batman. That one's hard to let go.
I was doing Brave and the Bold. I was doing Batman and Robin. And then I just kind of stopped because I was like, I'll just get it in trades, you know?
Yeah. People should know, like, comics, the mainstream comics, they're going to be dying. Like, Chuck Dixon mentioned it the other night. It's going to be dead in the next year or two. Like, it really is. He sees them being licensed out, the all the IPs. And I've been saying that for a while now. I think they're going to be licensed. I think if they're going to do comics, they're going to do campaigns. They're going to fund a comic. They're going to put it on Kickstarter. They're going to put it on Indiegogo, wherever, and try to raise funds to do these books now, because they're losing money. And the creators that are doing these books are just, they're activists. They're creating garbage. There's great artists and there's a couple of good writers there, but what they're doing in there, like, all they're just using Marvel and DC as a stepping stone to work in Netflix or to work on Hollywood or wherever. So it's going to be the death of mainstream comics very soon. I see it. So it's sad.
I think it would be the more death by a thousand cuts kind of thing. I think he is right, so to speak, because I think it would get to a point where, like, well, you know, David Zaslav is not a guy where he wants to sit around and make no money. This is a guy that literally acts to movies when they were, like, legit done, right? He's acts TV shows off their streaming service when they make him no money. David Zaslav probably more than Disney Marvel. What's to stop, like, you know, Zaz that from walking into the DC Comics, whatever space they might have in their fucking I don't know what they have for DC in terms of comics. You know how they just got a DC Studios now for DC movies? I don't know what the comic structure is over there. What's to stop that guy walking in there? Hey, Jim Lee, you haven't had your balls in fucking, I don't know how long, honestly. You're hiring troons for DC gay pride events. Yeah, our books make no money. I see that happening. I see Zaza walking in, going to Jim Lee, being, this makes us no money. You need to fix this right now or you're all going to be gone. And if he doesn't change it and if he doesn't write the ship around in about X time given to him, then I think he just lights it off. I think he's willing to give it time because he has, like Zaza has mentioned, he knows how valuable Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman are as assets to DC. Yeah. But I think he's more talking about like movies, because obviously people know there is more value in movies and animation and TV than comics, obviously. Because he even valued selling off the Batman Cape Crusader series to Amazon Prime, actually. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he sold it off to them. I don't know when Amazon's premiering it at this point, but he's like, I don't know. He's the guy. He'll go in there. If he's not making money, he will do something. You know, like all those gay pride books that people parade on Twitter, like they sell a lot. Dude, I'm in California. I was at the Barnes & Nobles that we have out there. It's like 30 minutes away. It's pretty huge. It's huge. It's in a big giant mall and everything. Those gay pride events, those are the same gay pride books I saw there since 2017. Yeah, guys, I'm not kidding. The same pride books people said they saw, same thick encyclopedias don't sell. This is the same ones. I even looked at it like, I saw this book in 2017. Is this the same one? Yep, check the same one. You know what sells out, people? Manga. It literally does. Yeah. Anyone saying it's not is retarded. Or you legit don't go outside. I'll know if you go outside if you say manga doesn't sell. I live in California. I've seen several shops. Manga sells exponentially well. You know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy at this point. You know? And people have said, but, you know, there's certain mangas that don't sell very well. Oh my God. There are certain things that don't sell very well in popular medias. What are you telling me? Basic life? Like, what? People are so stupid. What kind of arguments are we even having at this point? Like, what the hell? Of course, classic using your brain. It's a big industry in manga. There's going to be ones that don't sell very well. I don't know what you want me to say to that. It's just basic economics. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's just people want to fudge the numbers so hard. It happens with Did you see the Madam Web numbers, actually?
Oh, no. I didn't see the numbers. What are the numbers?
The opening weekend, because I just did a video on it, the opening weekend it took from 6 days was 25 million.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Yeah. And we did that on Saturday Night Hypnosis. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And then what chill media websites do, dude, is they'll like be like, but this is the lowest opening for a Sony Spider-Man film. Whoa. That's in a different universe. They're sitting here like comparing Miles Morales' animation movies and like Toby's and Andrew's movies. Like, no, that's legit fudging numbers. Those are in completely separate universes. They have no bearing on this. All of the Sony Spider-Man universe movies have drastically dropped off the face of the earth, honestly. They got high off Venom because Venom is a really legit popular character. Everyone knows who Venom is. The sequel fell off a cliff. People realize how bad that first movie is. Awful. Venom 1 is trash. Second one's trash. Morbius is mega trash. This one, I saw people were like, I'm so surprised it's bad. Did you not see the other three? They're awful. Why did you think this one was good? What the fuck?
Well, I'll even throw in, this is a hot take for you, I'll even throw in Deadpool 2. Deadpool 2 was shit. The story was shit.
The story is really bad. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's really bad. The only thing that carries Deadpool is nostalgia. It's the humor.
Yeah,
it was Ryan Reynolds. The obvious is Ryan Reynolds because he does that in every movie, and I think people are going to be shocked when this movie doesn't do well. It's not. I don't think it's going to do as well as people think it is. Like, people think it's going to be a $1 billion. It's going to save the Marvel. It's like, no, I don't think it's going to save it. I think it's going to be
for the immediate term. That's all it is. It can only save it in the immediate term, like just this year, because all the projects after that are bad. Captain America 4, Thunderbolts, like Blade, Fantastic Four, like those are going to save Marvel.
Blade. Well, you mentioned earlier, Blade, they want to make her female. It's going to be his daughter or something.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch that? I'd create a character. That's why I love Blue Eye Samurai. That's why I like Arcane. Like Blue Eye Samurai, everyone's like, oh, you know, this is going to be woke and everything. I'm like, oh, let's try it out. I started watching, I'm like, this is a damn good story. This is an incredible story. And so you're following this character. She reveals that she's, it's kind of like a Mulan kind of like type story, but like drastically different and more graphic and violent with some heavy trauma in there. But like, it's a generally great story with some incredible writing. Michael Green and Amber Nuzimi, who wrote that, unbelievable. And I'm like, this is, we have to, I'm going to do a review on this. I'm going to do a weekly review on each episode. And so it can be done. It's just, don't sit there and give me a movie that has terrible direction, terrible writing, terrible acting because they're being directed to do things that is awkward. The dialogue is horrible. I don't, these movies, their dialogue is just, I don't even know what planet they're, so forgettable. They're living on.
Like, oh, have you noticed that when you go watch a new movie and you leave it, there's no like truly rememberable scenes because you've forgotten everything essentially.
Oh, then that it Thor, God of Love and Thunder.
That horrible movie. So shit. That is awful. It's awful. That is legit a shit movie.
I was like, what did I just watch?
I actually didn't watch Black Panther because of it. I went and watched it opening Thursday night, you know, because you had the Thursday night previews. Me, I swear to God, this has happened. Me and two dudes were sitting there watching it. We went like this. We turned to each other. It was over. And we were like, we're out. We just went, fuck this. We're done. It's done. Awful. Movie is legit shit. I was like, bro, that movie makes Thor Ragnarok look like an actual masterpiece in comparison.
Yeah, I agree. Because I was excited because I have the series, the Thor God Butcher. I have that series, and I'm like, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, holy shit, they're gonna follow actually the storyline of the comic. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is what I want. And then it just drifted off into this other kids being kidnapped and by the. I'm like, what the hell is this? And then, of course, they have Natalie Portman in there, and she's got to be the hero, and she's got to. It was just like, okay, what are we doing here? Like, can we not write a good film anymore? Like, what? Like, is everything lost? Like, what is going on? Like, if people are shocked with Avatar: Last Airbender, the series on Netflix. I'm not. I haven't even watched it yet.
I remember when I was younger. I remember it first came out when I was younger. I remember when it premiered on Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, I think. One of those networks that appeared on. I was never interested in it. Never appealed to me. I never got into it. I can understand why people... even if that's a thing with certain properties, I'm not saying people are wrong about how they should feel, because like, I know a lot of my love properties got fucked over by like bad Hollywood shit. You know, like Borderlands came out. I've never seen Borderlands. Borderlands was always attached to weirdos. Legit weirdos were playing that shit when I was like, I ain't getting into this stuff. But like, what is Netflix's obsession with animating stuff like that? I've said this for many years, dude, says on my other podcasts I used to have. Take the money, ask the people, I have $100 million. I can make 10 animated movies. And we can do this for 10 years, one movie a year. The budget, you could probably have those budgets like 20 million, maybe. We're going really low, right? Yep. Good animation, 20 million for an anime movie, you'll make bank. The profit margins on that would be insane. No, we're going to do live. Just make more animated stuff. People are used to watching Avatar animated. Yep. Why can't it just be animated? That's literally how most people got into it. I don't understand. I just don't get it. With this obsession with live action, I don't get it, man.
They saw what Marvel did. Marvel created the MCU. Iron Man came to life. Like, we always wanted to see a movie. We always wanted to see Spider-Man on the big screen. We always wanted to see Batman on the big screen. We always wanted to see, you know, the X-Men on the big screen. And so those movies were very successful because, you know, everyone wanted to see them. Was it great movies? No, they weren't good movies, in my opinion. Now, when the MCU came out with Iron Man, everyone's like, holy shit, this is amazing. Iron Man, awesome movie. The Hulk, not very good. Thor, the first Thor, pretty decent movie. Then you had Captain America, pretty good. I'm not a huge Captain America, it's pretty good. then you get the Avengers and you're going, oh, this is awesome. And you start getting invested in the MCU, and then you have like Infinity War and all that. And so now manga see, like Netflix sees that and other production companies see that. And they're like, they're taking the comics and they're bringing it to the live action screen. We could do that with manga. So they did that with Death Note. And I'm actually wearing a Death Note shirt right now, but they did that with Death Note. Destroyed it. It was awful. They did that with whatchamacallit? Brothers the Alchemist.
No,
Full Metal Alchemist, and that was garbage. Then you did a couple others and they were just not very good. Then they did One Piece. The one thing they did with One Piece that was right, the creator was in control.
Right.
And look how good One Piece was. And guess what? There was a transgender person in there and no one really cared or knew.
It was crazy. Because that character that people said is trans, it's not even trans in the show.
No.
It's odd. Yeah, they just that's what man, Sammy said earlier.
Yeah.
These people just can't help themselves. We got a great thing. Hey, this is great. The creator's involved. Gotta insert that troon. It's like
You know what? But no one cared. They loved the acting. Because it was a good actor, right? It was a good character. Then they's like, oh, well, like, we're gonna do Avatar, and then we're gonna do, well, Avatar was already in place, but they're doing all these things. And when the creator of Avatar walked off the set, didn't want anything to do with it.
I remember that. Yeah,
that's when that's when you're like, it's gonna be garbage. You could tell. Same with Rob Liefeld. I guarantee you, Rob Liefeld retired for the reason that he knew what was going to happen with this film, didn't like it, so he's like, I don't want anything to do with Deadpool anymore. I'm retiring from Deadpool. And that's my theory. That's just my theory. But I think that's why he retired from Deadpool, because he's not happy with the way Marvel is portraying Deadpool. I think he's seen what they're doing with the film, and it's just not what the character is. So
I think maybe it's because they don't want to credit him or pay him for whatever storyline they might use. Because we know Marvel's been very bad at that. Remember about a few years ago, the Winter Soldier drama, where they didn't even pay the guy based off that story. They just gave him an invite to the premiere of the movie.
They're still going to have to pay him. They're still going to have to pay him the royalties. Yeah. He's just not going to be doing the comics and everything anymore. So he's just saying, like, I'm no longer going to be doing Deadpool anymore. I got other IPs I want to do. But I think he did that purposely because he wants to distance himself away from the movie. He's got other books that he's working on, and I think Deadpool 3 is going to be trash, man. I'd rather go in thinking it's trash and be a good movie than go in there thinking, oh, it's going to be a great movie, and then come out and go, what the hell is that?
The thing you said about Deadpool 2, like, Deadpool 2's story is really bad. The only thing that saves it for me is the humor and just Ryan Reynolds. And they got that's it. Just the humor and Ryan Reynolds are just saving the movie. Because, like, that story, I remember going to see it, and I never saw the first one. I was like, okay, I'll just watch Deadpool 2. Because characters like that have never been, like, my type of jam. Like, I don't, same thing with anime. Like, I don't read and watch this stuff for, like, humor, so to speak. If it makes me laugh, like, I'll laugh, obviously. I'm not a fucking, like, mute. But I've just never been, like, that interested in comedic characters like that, unless they're like witty, like the way Flash was in the Justice Animated series, Wally West was, like, he was witty and it was fun. You know, I like witty, fun comedy, not like, hey, I stuck a sword up my ass, that's funny. It's like, well, that's only gonna last like so long, you know.
That's child humor though, right?
Yeah, like Kick-Ass, you understood why that played out the way it did, because that's an actual, like, real world setting they're in. But like, those type of characters like Deadpool just never really gravitated to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fourth wall stuff I don't care for. Mm-hmm. Like She-Hulk, I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out, and watched it. I watched one episode. I was like, this is the worst show I've ever seen in my life.
I got six episodes in and I was like, this is trash. I'm down. That show literally made me stop watching those shows. It was so bad. Because I told you when you first came on, I was waiting. Me and meeting people that I was hanging out with at the time. Wait till the episodes literally drop on Disney Plus, 12 o'clock at night, 3 o'clock for them EST. These are just so shit. And as the shows kept getting worse, you saw more and more people not coming in. They would never say these shows are bad because, you know, reasons, yeah, obviously. But they kept, oh, I'll just catch it the day after. You know, I was literally there for every show up until She-Hulk, up until that last episode, waiting till it dropped. And I was like, no, fuck this. I am so done. These shows are terrible. The only one I liked was Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I thought to myself, I only liked one of these out of like six. And that's yep, bad. That's yep, awful. And then this happened all the time, man. Every time you watch one of these shows, you would have the same feeling. Well, that was just kind of meh. I had that feeling every time. And I was like, no more. I'm not just spending the time staying up to watch this. If I'm just going to yep, be, that's my feeling every single time. Fuck these shows.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ahsoka, same thing with Star Wars. I watched it, like me and Andrew did a review on Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. That show was like, oh God, because I was on Bonebridger's channel and we were doing reviews on it, and that show left you with more questions than answers. Mm-hmm. Like every episode, you're like you had like 25 questions, and then you go to the next episode, those questions don't get answered, you get mm-hmm, more questions. So like you, by the end of it, you got like 100 or so questions about what the heck is going on with this and this and this and this, mm-hmm, and none of it's going to get answered. Ray Stevenson, like how are they going to deal with that? Like, poor guy. This mm-hmm, is how your career is being mm-hmm, ended off with, like Ahsoka, because he was the only one that was acting in that thing. Everyone else, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, it was just mm-hmm, it was horrible. Star Wars is dying. That's a dead thing. Like, you're gonna see that die really quick. Star Wars are like Disney in general. They're just like in a big hurt bag. They're losing money left, right, and center. They sit there and fluff numbers and say, "Oh, we're doing great. We got this coming up." And Iger will sit there and lie through his teeth. But behind, they've ruined Pixar. They've ruined the Disney movies. They've ruined the MCU. They've ruined the Disney parks. They've ruined like so many things that are failing. They're all failing. They're all failing. There's not one thing that's Disney Plus. Like I think there was 172 people or 172 million unsubscribing from Disney Plus. Like, it's just like it's all around Disney's failing. So that's what's happening with, you know, when you start preaching to people and blaming people for not liking your content. That's the other thing. Like why would you blame? That's like me doing a stream. That's me and you doing a stream. This is your stream, you and people in your chat, and you're blaming them for not a good show. It makes no sense. It's just this is a good show. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it as an example. I don't know where they're getting off. Like, and people are seeing through it.
Even when they'll admit they have problems, Bob Iger quite literally said in an interview, this happened like literally, I think this week, he said, we need to consolidate some of the content we're putting out. We're going to focus on stronger franchises. He was talking about Marvel, because obviously Star Wars hasn't been putting anything out recently, and he knows the animation of Power Department has been fucked by Bob Chapek anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, even when they'll subtly admit things aren't going well, people will somewhat still rationalize in their brains. Disney has the parks. That's doing good for them. Guys, I would love if you guys would not think so small. Okay, the parks are doing good, but by that logic, the parks are the only thing keeping them alive. Because they didn't have the parks, by that logic, they'd be out of business almost essentially. Or, because mm-hmm, Bob Iger, last year, 2023, remember how they had the interview where he was mentioning selling off their TV assets?
Yeah.
They literally had it. They've been literally slicing off their media department just recently, 2 days ago. So they're going to let Sony do all their physical media production now at this point.
Yeah.
What more has to happen for people to be like, well, this might be pretty bad. No shit, Sherlock. It's almost like they're fucking telling you as it happens, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit of the same week, he says, we need to put out less stuff, focus on stronger characters. Second day, Disney licenses out all their physical media labor to fucking Sony. Does that look like a thriving company to you people? Like, what? Yeah, that's a thriving company. Not only that, right?
They're buying more IP stuff, and it's just like, what are you doing? You got tons of IPs. Focus on what you have and do it right. Like, it just seems like
I believe they can put out good stuff. Like, I know they can. They're just stuck in this route of,
All I don't think fucking... they can. I don't think they can. I don't think don't they think can. So? I know. Mm-hmm. I think they got people in there that are just they're toadies, and they just they're there for paychecks, and they're there for the name, and they have people that have no vision at all. They don't have any strong management there. Like, you don't have editors that are strong. You don't have strong producers. You need that. I've mentioned that on Saturday Night Hypnosis. Mm-hmm. The only way the comic industry is going to survive is you get a strong editor and said, this is how it's going to go. And this is the vision I have. And you work with a staff and you go, this is how I want it laid out. And you have like DC did that for the longest time. They would sit there and have like a year long, you know, vision mm-hmm. of how these books are going to play out, these story arcs, and they're all going to intertwine somehow. It was great. Now it's just everyone doing what they're putting themselves there in these characters. They're not serving the characters. They're thinking, oh, I'm going to make this person, you know, serve what I believe in. And it's just like, it's the same thing in Hollywood. They're doing the same thing. They're just, I'm going to have this character, you know, be come out and say this and this and that. I'm gay or whatever it is. And it just, it's awkward. It's not even realistic. Like TV, comics, video games, all that. That's all fantasy. That's why we want to get away from the mundane work day or work night and just, you know, shut off our brains and watch good content or play good content or read good content. And now it's all being ruined. It's a shame. It really is a shame.
You'll even have Warner Brothers. I mean, Warner Brothers is even worse than Disney in most things because they'll just like they'll acknowledge they're hemorrhaging a lot of money. They'll acknowledge it, but then they'll be like, you know what? Like if the fucking cringe weirdo DC fans are there, like, oh yeah, it's Suicide Squad, kill the Justice League, great. Warner Brothers literally said, I think it was earlier today or in an interview, the game literally fell below their expectations. Even though people claim it's so good, the actual company said it's not up to their standards. What are we even doing here? What the fuck? Yeah. I'll show you right now. So people who claim that it never happened, you know, people like take down posts. I'll show you right now. All those fucking little stupid little weirdos out there on Twitter saying they bought this game. We know they didn't buy this game. They don't game it. All these people just say stuff they do without actually showing it. Warner Brothers says the Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. Has fallen short of our expectations. So no, this isn't good. Even when the company says, we think this failed, people go, I think it was great. Fucking hell. What are we doing here anymore?
What the fuck?
If you can't even acknowledge objective reality, I can't talk to you. If you're, but they don't really mean that. It's like, give me the fucking gun. At that point, give me the gun, blow my fucking brains out at that point. Like, if you can't even acknowledge life itself, then you are literally living on a different planet. Didn't they announce the fucking game? Like, less than 1,000 people playing it? Guys, that's terrible! It's a Batman Arkham City gained more viewers.
Oh, yeah. People are replaying those games on YouTube, and they're getting, like,
they're like, you know what? Mega... I'll play the better games.
Yeah. They're getting like thousands of views. Yeah,
you know, people like Arkham Origins. Maybe I treated you too harshly. I never thought the game was actually that bad when it came out. I thought it was fine. I had issues with it. It's not as good as the other three. Well, I played Asylum, Game of the Year Edition. I played Arkham City. I bought Origins when it literally dropped. I never played Arkham Knight, but I know the story. I think the story is not as good as the other two, obviously. But those are, even at their weakest, even whatever ranking you have of the games, they're all like, in their own way, really good. You know, one might be worse depending on which one you're comparing it to, but they're overall pretty solid games. I just told this is why Warner Bros. Is even stupider than Disney. Remember, this is the same company that gave J.J. Abrams $50 million to do nothing. Like,
yeah.
Why? People forget they literally gave this guy like $100 million to do nothing. He just went and cashed some checks at the bank.
Yeah.
Company's trash, dude. Well, both Warner Brothers are legit losers, dumb idiots.
Warner Brothers is on life support. They're literally they're
so lucky. I think
their stock is at $9 right now. So it's that goes to tell you how good they're doing. Mm-hmm. And Disney's not doing much better. Like, does I think Disney's at $89 per stock. Mm-hmm. So they used to be like in the hundreds, and they're just dying out.
And Warner Brothers doesn't have the parks like Disney does. The parks bail Disney probably out of every bit of their financial woes, right? But you're looking
I'm not sure Warner how that works.
Me neither.
Because they have like Batman and Superman rides. Like, I know in Wonderland in Toronto they have like Paramount.
But that's for they license out to what, Six Flags, I think they do that.
Six Flags, yeah.
I imagine they get some money from that. It's just, you know what I think people do? They fudge the numbers. So I think when they have business meetings, they're like, well, our parks are doing better than ever. They're like, well, okay, what about the movie side of things? They're like, but our parks are, I think they, it's like, I don't know if you've ever had business meetings where like someone will try to make another failing department look better because the other one is doing so good. That's what happens. I know those conversations. I've seen them before. I've heard them. A lot of these people don't understand. Disney has a structure that Warner Brothers do. That's what he wanted to have, where one department, one lead, that person runs it, that person makes it profitable, then the other one follows suit, right? Well, okay, so just because the parks are doing good, that doesn't mean the other three are doing good. That's how it would work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because the parks are doing great, I'd imagine the other ones are doing terrible, right? The Pixar Animation Bar, we know, is doing bad. They've been getting fucked over for like, what, 3-4 years at this point? Movie mm-hmm. department, the CEO of the company's like, hey, we gotta really shape up now at this point, or we're gonna be in or for a world of hurt, you know? And that's the thing, is like, I think a lot of people have to understand, no one really understands business like this. Google has it too. I was hearing an interview, one of my League of Legends teams that I support, CEO, talk about it. One department, how would I say this for people to understand this? Like Amazon, right? So Amazon is good, right? That doesn't mean Amazon Prime is good, right? They try to make each part of the business self-sufficient on their own. That means that to make it self-sufficient, one would have to like express more money to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like Amazon Prime, it probably loses a lot of money for Amazon. But since Amazon makes a lot of money just in everything else, it could like cover it up, you know? I'm pretty sure that's what Disney's doing. It has to be. Because those departments, you know, they're not making money.
Yeah, you never know what they're doing. They're fudging everything, like you said. There's a lot of numbers. They're
lying out their ass. Our comic division is doing billions of dollars because you know, Dogman sells as much. It's like, oh, what? That got nothing to do with no Spider-Man. Like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. That's how you know the comics part of life. Because the shareholders definitely answer the comic numbers. They're like, oh, the comic industry, it's $1 billion in sales. Okay. What is Spider-Man's numbers? And they'll be like, oh, but Dogman's doing so good for the kids. What? do people know what that is? That's called basic deflection.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Like, if you ask your wife, hey, where's the dinner? Oh, yeah, I was out with the girls. The fuck you just tell me? Like, what the hell? Oh man, I love these people, man. Oh god, it's so easy to know when someone's lying to you. It's so fucking funny. Oh lord. That's what happens with esports too, because like YouTube, the reason why YouTube doesn't host esports events on their platform too much, doesn't do enough for them. There's not enough skin in the game, and they try to host it, it's just worthless, you know.
Is that the reason? Like, it's like, because I thought it was huge. I thought esports was huge.
That's what they tell you, because they're liars.
Okay, I don't know esports that well.
It's the same thing like in a business meeting. They'll be like, the gaming industry is worth so much money. Man, Mario sells so well. Well, Mario's not esports.
Oh, well, League of Legends because I know you. Do you play the game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it really that big? Because I know
itself is very big, but the problem when it comes to like the esports side of it, so I'm pretty sure you've seen this recently. Did you not hear about the story where two of the famous COD players are suing Activision Blizzard for like $800 some odd million? Because, I'm trying to be nice with people here. Gamers for some of these industries are like huge communists to a certain point, where like the fans themselves don't exactly support on a huge enough level. So if we own like esports teams, well, how you probably think to yourself, how does an esports team make money? Well, most people say sponsorship.
Yeah.
But now you understand what the game's coming to this. Well, you're not making money yourself. You're like asking other people to pay you off to make money. Mm-hmm. I could be here for another hour explaining how bad of a like literal grift that is for the most part. It literally is. When people say grifting, like, because they don't know what the fuck it means. Esport orcs technically grift to make money if you're using it like in a professional sense, because the only way you make money is like sponsorships or merch sales. But how much merch are you selling? You'd be selling like literally millions and millions of dollars of merch that to be profitable, right? Or you take a cut of profits from the players you have on your roster when they stream on Twitch, or so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Or sponsorships. So it's just so much. Oh, good Lord, man. And there's not enough fans that are supporting on that level to really make it profitable. You know, some esports are profitable. Most were propped up by venture capital. So it was someone giving them a lot of money for a future investment. And then when they saw...
I get you.
Yeah, a lot of it got propped up by venture capital. So
you're trying to predict the, you know...
Now it got to a point where the VC funding kind of dried up. They didn't see the billions and billions of dollars in growth and in money. So they're like, no more money for you. It'd be stupid to give you more money when you've already not made me, you know, your cup. It'd be dumb of me to give you more money when your company's made me nothing. You know, I only gave you that lump sum of money because I thought it was going to pay me off a 10 times revenue profit later on in the future. You know?
Yeah.
That has not happened.
I was always curious about that because like how's that like going to last long term? Cause like everything goes in waves, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what happens when the money runs dry from these sponsorships, or when people are just like turn the heads to some other game or some other event?
Sponsors pull out when there's we just went through this thing called Esports Winter, less venture capital, less sponsors coming in. Because I don't know if you've ever been into like marketing or whatever, but sponsors have enough money. They are concerned with putting their product in front of more eyes of people that are willing to buy their product, right? So if your like team isn't generating like engagement or social media traction, or your games aren't putting in enough viewers, well, then why would I give you money though? That means my product inherently is seen by less people, so I'm going to pull out, you know? Plus these teams are really bad on deliverables. So like for sponsors, I mean just that. Deliverables, like, are you doing enough content for me? Are you doing enough interesting content for me on YouTube that's generating enough views? It's, oh God, these guys have squandered so many great sponsors, man. I fucking hell, dude.
Interesting.
Like League.
I would love to get you on to talk about this on the Arcane videos one time.
And I just casually seen all this stuff, and I just read the articles, went through the information. It's so much, man. Like the fact that somebody's, oh God, Blizzard, thank God they got bought by Microsoft. Bobby Kotick is such a fucking idiot. Do you know how much they were charging people for these slots? League of Legends slots were going for like 10 to 12 million. And that made sense somewhat, maybe at the time, because it was really, really huge. It still is really huge for the most part. Activision Blizzard was charging people like $20 million a slot for Overwatch League slots and Call of Duty slots. So you probably think like, wait a minute, they're charging you more for games that have less of a shelf life than League, and League is more popular right now. It's like Overwatch League collapsed, as you probably heard. You know, they're going to an open circuit model where it's just going to be just, you know, whoever can fund it, funds it. I'm not too sure what's happening with the COD League so far, but I imagine it's going to follow suit at some point. They're going to probably just license it out to someone else, honestly. They'll probably just give it to someone. That's how esports works, man. You can't afford it, they'll give it to someone else who can. Fucking stupid.
Well, video games are kind of in a rough spot as it is too, aren't they? Like, it's
right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm I haven't played games. I played Ghost of Tsushima, and I've played a few others, but I haven't really had time to sit down and actually play. I started playing Pal World. So that
I wanted to play that. How was it actually?
It's actually really cool. Me and Vex were playing that. It was actually a lot of fun. She laughed her ass off as I caught on fire. But I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm going to try that Helldivers 2. I know Cannoli told me to try that out, so I'm going to try that out and start playing that. But yeah.
They said Critical Drinker dropped a trailer for his movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was today.
I'll do a reaction to it then. I'll do trailer reactions, but I only really do them for like big stuff because it's the only stuff that they'll attract any level of views. If you go on like if you do a trailer reaction for like a random whatever, it ain't getting no traction. And since I'm already not going to make money from it anyways, monetized, I'm only going to do it for big stuff. That's the only reason why I made enough skin in the game. You can't really do trailer reactions for like Netflix or streaming services. They don't allow that pretty much from those far. And by the time they do release the claim, monetization period's over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. I mean, at least you don't have the level of people that hate Eric, though. Imagine that. Weird, cringe people that hate Eric. Imagine if you were that popular where you had that level of mentally ill haters.
Yeah, it's not really warranted. I mean, really? I mean, I don't mind Eric. He's doing what he needs to do. He's putting out content, and if you want to dump on it, you have your right to dump on it. But I mean, a lot of people are just jealous. That's what it comes down to. He's got a business. Yeah. He's making millions, and that's how life goes. I got nothing to say negative about that. I mean, he's doing his thing. Same with EVS. They're doing their thing. I know they're going back and forth, but I mean, for what? Is that intentional? Is it, you know, is he doing that to get people to look his way? Like, I don't know. Like, EVS is a smart businessman as well. So, but.
Because I'll ask you, I'll see a few more things before we head out, which so what have you learned? As like you would say, a really valuable lesson for smaller people, or someone that wants to be in your spot, or someone that is trying to be in your spot, or a person that's just getting in, what would be something that you would say is the most underrated aspect to learn about doing this?
Underrated aspect?
One that people will just generally overlook when doing these kind of things.
Just being yourself. I think being genuine, just having a natural conversation, stop trying to clout chase, stop, be patient. You can't rush things. Take your time. I'm guilty of it myself. Talk to people, take in information from people that have done it and been there, done that, like yourself. You looked at my page. Last time I was on, you looked at my page and you're like, this is the problem with your page. Do this, this, and this on my YouTube page. I'm like, dude, thank you so much. And thank you. I appreciate that. Check your ego at the door. You can grow big, but remember the people that got you there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just like, I just take day by day. I just wake up and just know what I have lined up that I want to do and try to do it all. And so I can get to tackle the stuff I have lined up for the next day. I notice people get on YouTube or want to do comics and they want to rush and they want to cheat or, you know, whatever the case is, they want to get there faster than it's actually going to happen. And then they fail and then they're gone. I would just say patience, be yourself. Take it day by day.
Yeah. Cause the thing that people need to understand is if just try and learn something whenever you can, whatever you weren't doing before, try to apply it the next time, you know, like I'll still mess up too. I'll be like, you know what? My YouTube description, this looks like crap. Cause people do check your description at some point. I'll see people's like YouTube descriptions. They're just like garbage. They're not attractive, not interesting. go to people's channel sometimes. It's not put together. It's not like well, like layered out. It's just try to improve every day. Be like, okay, what am I doing that I, this is where I want to be at. Well, what do I need to improve to get there? You know, also the thing that is always super gnawing at my head, generally when it comes to like smaller people, is they have this like cringe idea of like perceived quality. Like I have no idea where that comes from. It's like, quality is something that's going to be judged by your actual viewers you will eventually have. Whatever you think is quality is going to be so different between who's doing the content versus like who's receiving it. Because who's receiving it could just be like, this is garbage, honestly. And then at that point, it's like, well, how do you deal with that? Do you just go and tell that person they're stupid, or do you go and fix that? And you're like, oh, well, maybe I am wrong. Because the only way you would know is if you put something out. You know, a lot of people are kind of hesitant on putting stuff out because it's like they'll feel like it's not that good. And it's like, if you never put anything out, then you can't grow because you'll never have put anything out though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Ugh. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy world we live in, man. Like, that's the thing is I love comics so much. I love ordering them. I love getting them in the mail, of opening them. Marvel and DC stuff, you know, I was going to make sure this stuff better not have pronouns. If this stuff has any of that shit in it, I stop ordering instantly. You know? Because I told you at this point now, I'll just get like, you know, earlier, like I said in the show, new stuff like this I'm interested in. Stuff like maybe stuff from Dark Horse, maybe. You know? I'll read pretty much anything. It just, as long as it entertains me and it's good, you know.
That's why I go to the older catalogs, like the older back catalogs, like the canon and the lore of all these books. I'll buy that stuff. I used to have it as a kid, and I sold all, like, my comics off when I was when I got older, and I regret it. I should, but I'm going back and rebuying a lot of those books, and I love rereading them. I love reading some of the stories. They were just fantastic. It was just a story. That's all it is. And now it's not so much. It's more an agenda or some activist telling, you know, their story. And it's like, I don't want to hear that.
Oh, so. The last thing I wanted to mention before we go, the last few things. First thing, X-Men 97 trailer. What did you think of that?
I don't know. I'm not holding my breath at all. When they start talking non-binary and all that kind of stuff, it's like, who cares? Like, why do we got to do this? It's just like, can't we just enjoy the characters? Yeah, why do we have to label it with something? Like, who gives a fucking shit?
Do you know what I think was it, dude? There's always, have you noticed on Twitter, there's always these fan accounts that aren't like, I don't want to do this for Disney. I don't defend them, but it's not them, so to speak. But of course, the person might be paid by them. There's always these fan accounts that always get made. I'll be like, number one fan source for blah, blah, whatever fandom you're in. Then the moment that property, whatever's in it, receives any backlash, that account will start blocking people. They'll start calling people bigots. That X-Men account is the one that drove all that negative reception for the trailer. Because when you watch the trailer's actually not bad at all, really. The trailer's like fine. When I watched it, I thought it was fine. The problem
here, Magneto, I don't know what they did with Magneto. He had like mascara.
I think they're doing, they said there's going to be a storyline where it's... I'm not like the most knowledgeable X-Men guy. I know like a good amount, not like the most. There's a storyline where he's gonna eventually maybe become like a hero or whatever. Hi, yeah, yeah. Good lord.
Yeah, yeah.
I just
anything that Disney puts out, I have no.
You're just so like, because like the fan account with, because like with, when it comes to fan accounts like that, they're literally you just deliver the news. That's it. That account. Some people morph his by. One of the one dude in the comment section, he was like, I'm not watching this. And they're like, well, we don't need you. And it's like, I hope Disney and Marvel know there are accounts out there that are talking to your fans, telling them not to watch their stuff because they have a different opinion. But let's be honest here. They like it when, even though they're not maybe tied to those accounts, they like it when they do that. Because if they didn't, they'd step in. Executives, people that run the show would step in and be like, hey, you shouldn't be talking to fans like that. But they don't, because the X-Men account made a tweet that said, we normally don't give our opinions on anything because you're not. You're supposed to be a news account. You don't discussing film doesn't give their opinions on anything. Yeah. Credit to them. They don't give their opinions on stuff. They just report the news like you're supposed to. That account was like, we don't give our opinions normally, but the amount of bigotry and disgust with Morph and his pronouns were just blah, 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 bigotry. And I was like, And they blocked me because I called them company bootlickers. I was like, you guys are just nothing but a bunch of bootlicking faggots. I literally said, I didn't get banned on Twitter, thank God. But you're nothing but a bunch of bootlicking faggots. And I was like, literally block me. And they did. Because you're a bootlicker. You don't get, you're not supposed to give your opinion. If you want to give your opinion, people from the account need to make their own Twitter accounts and say what they really
feel. What they do. That's what they do, though. They say one thing and then they say they do the exact opposite. They're unreliable and they're hypocrites. You can't talk to these people.
Yeah, so. It's crazy. Like, you have these fan accounts out there that'll be like, oh my God, this person is spreading hate. You sound like a fucking fag. People sound like literal actual dummies. Dude, people are so soft. How do they function in life? I don't know. You people are so soft.
They're mouth breathers.
People are just so cringe. First of all, it's a show based in the 90s. It's literally a show based in the 90s. People are like, but he can change. No, he cannot. This is from the 90s. If this is a show that is like 10 years later, I could maybe see your point, but it's not. It's a show based in the 90s, from the 90s, continue off after where the show ended off. That means literally by definition, there's nothing you can change with the show for the most part. And he's somehow a shapeshifter, just means trans now. It's like, oh my God, what are we doing here? And this is the thing, man, like I said before, it could be a great show. It legit could be honestly a great show. The problem here is no one's going to check it out now because all they heard was this morph binary shit.
It's their own fault. I mean,
yeah. So anyone that was going to check it out, you kind of told them to not check it out now. I told people that when I originally heard the news, I was going to watch it. I told people before, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to watch it. I swear, if this is garbage, I'm not watching anymore after this. No more season. Don't be a season two watch from me. I'll be out, honestly. Because, you know, I know these guys can be, like, pretty hyperbolic sometimes. So it's happened with a lot of Disney products that I've watched where, like, the actors will say something, but when you watch it, it's not like that at all. It has no overall bearing on the actual product. The product is just mostly bad because it's just not good. But what they said has no actual impact either. Could be that. It could be we watch this show and they don't mention it. So he's non-binary at all. But it's like, I can't blame people for not checking it out because the day that the trailer dropped, that's all it was talked about. It's like, we're talking about like that it's cool to just have it back. You know, it's cool to just have an X-Men. We've not had anything X-Men related since like what? Like Dark Phoenix maybe?
No, it was X-Men Second Class,
like animated wise, we haven't had an animated X-Men series.
Oh,
like
nothing animated.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything.
It's been a hot minute. Yeah,
well, there was like, the Japanese.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. It's been a hot minute. So.
Yeah.
I told people before. I know Disney's Disney, but I want things to be good. I genuinely want them to be good, but. In the back of my head, I go, well, now they always got to fuck it up somehow, you know?
Yeah, I don't even think that. I just think that, you know, it's not worth my time. And then when people say it's actually good, then I'll like maybe take a look at it. But I just rely on word of mouth now. I don't even, anything that Disney puts out there, I just like, nope, not even gonna bother. It's not even worth my time.
So. That's true. And the last few things I'll ask you, the first thing, which is any big plans coming up for your channel very, very soon?
Yeah, I got Adam Lawson coming on. I have Oliver, the Ars, I can never say his last name. He's coming on from 656 Comics. Mm-hmm. I have Orbital Bacon coming on. I have Billy Tucci coming on. I have...
Okay.
I'm going to be doing... Arcane on Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. We're going to be finished episode 6 this Thursday coming up. And then after Arcane's done, we're going to be doing Cyberpunk Edge Runners. We're going to do that series. But then Tuesday nights, I'm going to be doing starting March 12th with Vex and a few other Copa Catania and a few others. We're going to be doing Scavenger's Reign review, that animated series. I'm going to be doing some animation. I got guests lined up all the way into May now. There's guests I haven't even mentioned yet. There's a lot of big name guests I'm forgetting right now. Let me take a look. I got Wyatt from Saturday Night Hypnosis coming on, Orbital Bacon. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned Billy Tucci. I mentioned, Gary Kissel coming on. He's a very known writer. I have, yeah, a whack load of guests coming on as I'm kind of getting
you're flooded. You're a famous guy now. Here. Y'all grown up?
No, not at all. Guests? No, not at all. I someone mentioned that too on X. They said, "Oh, you're getting." I'm like, "No, I'm not. Like, not even close." I was just like, "Come on now."
Famous is when you can start making money off this. You put yeah. video. Yeah, well, that's when you're famous.
Famous is like when you're like internationally known around everywhere. Like that's
yeah.
That's when I would say, you know. But no, not even close. Although I went to the Spawn convention in October and someone yelled, "Gooch, it's the Gooch." And I'm like, "Oh my God, someone recognized me." So that was funny. But no, it's just my channel's growing. I'm at like, I think it's almost 1600 subscribers now. It's slowly climbing up and I'm just taking it day by day. Like I said, I'm just being humble and just having a good time. I'm on Hypnotic's channel on Saturday night. So tomorrow night I'll be Hypnotic. I'm part of the crew there on Saturday Night Hypnosis and have a blast talking with those guys. And yeah, and I'll be going on. I'm on a lot of other channels and I want to thank you for inviting me back on your channel. It's great. And I'll get you on my stream soon. And
yeah, anytime, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh God, it's so much harder to grow on YouTube now compared to when I did it. It's you pretty much just have to collab with people to a certain extent to kind of get some sort of exposure, you know? Because I put out videos pretty consistently, and I'm getting to a point where I'm gonna have to put out even. I got to a point where I realized I wasn't doing enough, so I want to do even more now, you know?
Yeah.
Because I realized I was just kind of taking it like laxed, kind of just letting it just you know for the most part be whatever, but. I realized to myself, if I want to get back to where I was, I have to just put in the work. Just got to just keep going, honestly.
Yeah, it's all about the work, man. And like I remember when I was on, like, and you're 336 episodes. Damn, dude. I was on, what, 55? 56?
55, yeah.
Damn, dude. Jeez. Yeah, you need to put out more. Yeah, like, you gave me some great advice, like, in the back room. You went, like, you looked at my YouTube and you helped me out. And I never forget those things, man. And I feel bad that you haven't been on my channel sooner. So,
you got any hot ladies coming on that are single that want to sleep with me? I'm just
kidding. We'll see what we can do. We can see what we can do.
Yeah. I'm always interested in older white women. Older white males are always good.
Yeah.
But there you go. The last thing I'll ask is, you think it was all worth it to get to the point that you're at right now? Think it all made
I'm
sense.
I'm not at where I want to be yet. That's the thing. I have plans to go even further. I feel like this is just the beginning. It was a grind to get to this point, but I have plans to get even further. I'm not stopping. I love doing this stuff. I really have a good time. Meet a lot of great people like yourself and have great conversations. I'm not going to stop. I'm actually going to be starting working even harder. I have time off in the near future and I plan on grinding and making some really cool shit. So,
yeah, that was my thing too, is like, I wasn't really effectively using my time to the best of my ability, you know, like,
oh yeah,
there'd be like extra hours in the day where instead of like doing a video that I know I needed to do that I was really passionate about, I would just kind of sit around, just watch YouTube and I'm like, okay, I can't do that. I need to get this done. If I want to get to that point, I need to get this done. Then I can do the free time stuff, you know. I feel like going into this year, that's my biggest thing, is effectively utilizing my time that I've have more extra, because that was my big problem too, is my timing was bad. So I was like, okay, let's fix this. I fixed it, but I realized to myself, I had extra hours that I wasn't doing anything. So I was like, okay, now I'm gonna use those extra hours to do something else that I needed to do and get done. So
yeah.
Oh, last thing I'll ask is any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular? Anything else you want to say before we head out?
Everyone that supported my channel and everyone that's been on my channel and everyone that supported me, it's a huge shout out. I appreciate every one of you, including yourself. It's been an awesome ride and I'm continuing to move forward, man. So yeah, everyone, there's not just one person. It's just a lot of people. I've got a lot of great friends and supports. So it's shout out to them.
Yes, sir. And as you guys know, these episodes, when they're done now fully, they can go on to the podcasting platform. So if you did not get a chance to catch the show live, you can watch and listen to it on the podcasting platforms, whether you're commuting back and forth from work, going to the gym, having sex with your wife. Okay, don't do that then, because that did. Imagine just hearing our voices. That'd be bad. But if you need a second monitor experience, if you need a second monitor experience, we can be that. Or I'm more of a primary monitor experience, but you know, I'll be on your second one, actually. But we'll see you guys later. Have a great night, everybody.